So, the mission of God in the calling of Abraham. This is our theme for today. We saw so far that the mission of God is to glorify His own name in all the earth and among all people. And this I will repeat always and always because we need to grasp the idea. Since Genesis chapter 1, God is fulfilling His mission through the history. So it's not only you pick up some books and you see, oh, okay, here I see God is in action. No, the truth is the Bible itself is an example that God is in mission. He brought the world, the word, so everybody can know about Him. So our main goal here is help you to see God's mission through the Bible, through the scripture. We need, see, because every book in the Bible has at least one thing, something, talk about God's mission. Last week we saw in Genesis chapter 2 to chapter 5 that even with the fall of man in the garden, God continued to show grace. God continued to show mercy. God continued to show His control over the history toward His original plan. He has a plan, and He is taking on that. He will finish that. Okay? This is the point. We saw that after the fall of man, we can see two seeds, two bloodlines going. One is the seed of the serpent, representing Cain. And another one is the seed of Adam, representing Seth. Today we continue to build the bridge. The bridge from Genesis chapter 1 through Abraham. And I know, So I can put all books of the Bible here, but we don't have time for that. But just make a bridge between Genesis 1, Abraham, and you go for the gospel, Jesus in the gospel, and you go until the revelation, and everything shows God in a mission. God has a plan. And everything that's happened in the history, it's God working. It's God's work. So we have shown a series of events that points the mission of God and the development in the history. Think with me now. The mission of God is glorify His name. And what was the great sin, the great lie that serpent said to Adam and Eve? What was the great sin or the great lie that the serpent said to Adam and Eve? He said, "You will be like God." Or at least, you will be at least great as He is. This is the great lie. Then after that, the man was expelled from the garden. And many years passed by, and we find them again trying to build a Tower of Babel. This was in Genesis chapter 11. I try just show that there is a repetition. It's a very hard word for me to say. Pattern. This is a pattern of rebellion in the Bible. And do you remember what was the motivation of their hearts? Why they tried to build the Tower of Babel? Genesis chapter 11, verse 4, give us this answer. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens. So that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." Can you see here? Can you notice the rebellion against God's will again? Again? They were against God's original plan. And what was? First, God wants glory for himself. They want glory for them. Let's build a tower so you get a name for ourselves. It's about us. It's not more about God. Second, God's want they will fill the earth. What they said? Let's build the tower. Make our names great, glory for them. And we don't need be scattered to the earth. Against the God's will. Today we see the mission of God and its relationship in the life of Abraham. So let's take a look in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to verse 4. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country. Yeah, it was like that. It was not, please go. Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you in a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on the earth will be blessed through you. But who was Abram? Abraham was not born like Abraham. His name was Abram. Abram. And he was born around 2,000 years before Christ in the city of Ur. In Portuguese, it's Ur. So, okay. Abram was born in a time with a lot of idolatry. Everybody, all people, worship many, many gods. They don't know the real God. Abram was the son of Terah. And according to the Jewish tradition, his dad was an idol maker. So the dad of Abraham make idols to sell. So Abraham works against the business of daddy. So in other words. Okay, so and it was through Abraham's descendants that the Jewish nation rise. He is considered the first Hebrew in the history. It was amid a contest of a complete idolatry that God chose Abraham. And when I look the whole history of Abraham, when I look the relationship between God and Abraham, when I look how God treats Abraham, we can see here six elements of God's mission. It's still there. First one was Abraham. It was the offspring of Shem. You remember Shem? Shem? Genesis 11, 10 to 26 proves that Abraham came from Shem, Noah's son. Do you remember the story of the flood? After the flood, a new history of cursing and blessing repeat. Again. Can you see the pattern? Again. Rebellion, blessing, cursing, and goes on, and goes on. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, the father of Canaan, and Japheth. Noah plants, he works in a farm. He likes to work on the ground. So what's happened is he planted a vineyard. And what's coming after? Grapes. Wow, harvest. Oh, maybe I can make some wine. And he made a wine. And he drank. And he got drunk. And he was so bad that he went to his tent. And he slept drunk. And the Bible said that his younger son went to his tent and saw Noah naked. And he came outside and he told for the other brothers and say, "Hey, dad is naked." I don't know exactly because the Bible really do not explain what was behind the scene. But this was really awful, inappropriate, disrespectful experience for Noah. This was so bad that Noah cursed him. And the Bible said that Japheth, I think it's Japheth you say, Japheth and Shem went inside the tent. They have like a towel or something like that. And they walk backwards without seeing his dad. And they cover Noah. But they didn't see. And when Noah wake up, probably with a big headache, he knew what Ham did. And he was so mad that he cursed him. But was it as about Shem that Noah says in Genesis chapter 9, 26. He also said, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Shem. May Canaan be the slave of Shem." So, when you look for chapter 11 of Genesis from 10 to 26, and we see that Abraham came from Shem lineage, bloodline. When come from that, we see that God is working. God is follow his plan. The second element we see here is God speak to Abram, also using an imperative form. You remember Genesis chapter 1? God used imperative to lead his mission with Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 1, 28, we read before. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Here, in Genesis chapter 1, 28, we have five imperatives. Be fruitful, increase the number, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over. God is not making a soft request of Abraham. I mean, my Hebrew is very rust, but the word here is lech lecha. Lech lecha. In other words, this is the way, the Hebrew way, to God say to Abraham, "Get out! Get out! Get out, Abram! Get out!" It's not, "Please, Abram, can you help me to do my mission? Can you help?" No. It's very strong word. It's, "Get out, Abram." So, when you read the first verse on Genesis 12, when you see, "The Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country." It's not about that. It's go from your country. Wake up, man. God called Abraham to leave his home and go to a new land and that God would show him. A new land. This verse reminds me a very important point to fulfill, to me to fulfill the God's plan for my life. And I hope it will help you too. Abraham did not go where to go. God didn't say to him. The only thing God said is, leave. I show you on the way. Just go. And faith and truth, trust in God, led Abraham to obey and move on. Maybe you are here today without knowing what will be your next step in your life, the next season for your life. Maybe you are here today without knowing where I will be in 30 days. My situation is not very good in this country. I don't know. So uncertain. The only thing I say is have faith. Trust on God. God is one who call you. God is one who is leading your life. Just move on and trust. And at the right time, in the right moment, as was with Abraham, God will show the answer for you. Just move on in obedience. Just move on. The third element I saw here when talk about the God's mission is the way to fulfill the mission of God. It's the same in Genesis chapter 1. When we arrive here in Genesis 12, verse 2, we see God saying, He will make Abraham a great name. Verse 2, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make you your name great, and you will be a blessing. It is as if God was saying, I'm going to use you to glorify my name. How do I do this? You will be a blessing for all the nations. Here, unlike the self-exaltation that we saw in Genesis chapter 11, when the man say, oh, let's build that big tower so our name will be great. It's a self-exaltation. It's God who say, I will make you, Paul, a great name. I will. It's me. I will make you great. But it's not just because of you. It's because you will fulfill my mission. And when you are walking, when you are walking, when you are living, people, I see how great you are. People will recognize that I am great. How does God glorify His name? God glorifies His name by blessing man so that man can bless others. This is how it works. Abraham, where you go will bring blessing to people. I'm sending you to be a blessing to all the nations. It is not accident that this short passage, only four verses, we have five times the word bless. Five times. Bless and bless and bless. This shows that God's mission is a mission that brings blessing, and He wants to use His people as a channel of His blessing on all the earth. In all the earth. God commanded Adam to bring a blessing of the garden to every corner of the earth. Remember, we are again, come back to Genesis chapter 1. God said, go, fruit, be fruitful. Take the blessing of the garden everywhere. And we talk about what was the blessing of the garden. It was the relationship between the man and God. Go. But some things happened. The man fall. And God intervened again. Because He will take care of His plan. And now we see that God commanded Abraham to leave his family And as he goes, Abraham would bless all families in earth. Adam and Abraham were called to fulfill God's mission, being a blessing. Being a blessing. And the question that came when I was thinking about that was, have I been a blessing to my family? Have I been a blessing to my friends? Have I been a blessing to my neighbor? Have I been a blessing to this country? This is how God is asking us to fulfill his mission. Being a blessing everywhere we walk. So when people see, when you do good things, when you are faithful, when you are just, when you are kind, when you bless people, they will glorify God through your life. This is how we fulfill our mission. Being blessed for those who are around us. The fourth element here is still the continuity of the enmity between the two seeds. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, there is at least an indirect reference to the continuity of the tension between the bloodline of the serpent and the bloodline of Adam. They said here, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. We saw last week that it was God who created the enmity between the offspring of the woman and the offspring of the serpent. This enmity was created by God. Why he did this? Because if he did not create this, we will be always slavers of the serpent. Always. So God need to create this enmity between these two bloodlines. We are in a war here. We are in a war here. If God did not do that, we would be forever captive of the serpent. There are two types of people here. Those who will bless Abraham and those who would be against him. It's two different kinds. And for me, it's implied here that the bloodline of the serpent will be always in opposite of God's will. Will be always, will continue to opposite God's will. In this theme, this struggle continued the whole Bible. Evil against the God's plan. It's whole Bible, you can see this pattern here. The fifth element here is the size of mission, of this mission. One more time, God is showing that he is not a tribal God. He is the God, he is a global God. And God commanded Abraham to leave his family and obey this calling. Abraham would bless the new Jewish community. No! What God said was, go, and as you go, you will be a blessing for all the nations. All the nations. The creation, I like to say that, you need to understand that the creation of the people of Israel came as a God's plan to reach and bless all people on the earth. Israel is not special just because they are Israel. They are special because for the reason why they were created. Do you understand what I mean? It's not, oh, it's Israel. He always will be special because of Israel. No. They are special because God created them to be the light for the Gentiles. This is what the prophet said. They were the chosen people to bring the truth about the real God for every nation. This is why they are so important. And nobody knows it just because they are Israel, they are Jews, they can do everything. No! We need to open our minds about that. And the sixth and last, but not less important, element here is, although God called men to participate in his mission, it is God, the ultimate responsible for its fulfillment. I will say again, although God calls men to participate in his mission, it is God, the ultimate responsible for its fulfillment. In other words, I like your name, Paul. It's so easy for me to say. So this is why I use all the time. When God called Paul, he said, Paul, I invite you to participate in my mission. But you know, in the end of the story, I'm responsible. It's not about you. What I want you is be faithful. I'm not looking, I don't have a book to write all the results Paul did right. No. Because I know you. I know your limitation. I created you. And I know how corrupt is the human nature after the fall. I know. But I invite you, and when as you go, you can have experience to be blessing of my presence, to feel my presence, to feel that I'm with you. But the end of the story is my responsibility. And I show that. Look for Genesis chapter 15. Next, please. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abram said, sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, bring me a heifer of gold and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all this to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Verse 18, when the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoke firepot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham and said, to your descendant, I will give this land. The passing of these things between the pieces was the confirming of the covenant between God and Abraham. The tradition of the time command that If I have, I'll change the name. Joe Paul, Dave, it's very easy to remember. So, Dave, if I have a deal, if I'll make a deal with Dave at the time, the tradition said, okay, we bring the animals, we separate the animals, and I will pass between them. And Dave will pass too, between the animals. And when we finish this, this means then I and Dave, we have a covenant. I will do my part, and you promise you do your part. Can you see what's happened here? Abram was there in spirit, but not in body, because he was sleeping. Abram did not pass between the animals. Only God. Only God. In another word here, God is telling Abraham that God is the creator and one that ensures the completion of his mission. It's my responsibility, Abraham. It's not yours. He was sleeping. He didn't pass. So, this idea, this element in God's mission, give to me hope. I can rest. Of course, I need to do my best to fulfill my mission. God entrusts me. He doesn't need me. But he invited me. It's my privilege to see his work through me as I'm going and bless people. So amazing. But he doesn't need me. Because in the end of the story, it's he who will do everything. He will make sure that everything will be okay, because is his glory who is in stake here. God is inviting you to walk with him, to be a blessing for your family, for your friends, you know, your work, so people can see this person live totally different. Why? Why you are so a good person? Why you treat your wife different than others treat? Why you treat your children different? Why you show love? Why you are just? Why you so fair? Why? And there you see God through our lives. This is the part of the plan of God for his church. So we found today six elements of God's mission in the life of Abraham. First one, Abraham is the offspring, or was the offspring of Shem. So God is following his plan. It's not off the chart. It's there, everything. So if you remember, you can look the Bible, you see that in different periods of the time, God is choosing people. Choosing people to make his plan go further. He is in control of everything. We can see in the whole, when you look the whole Bible. We see that God spoke to Abram, also using the imperative form. So God is in control. He makes things happen. He is sovereign. He has the power to change circumstances and situations. The way to fulfill the mission of God is still the same. Be a blessing. This was in Genesis. This was in Abraham. This is now. Be a blessing. Go. The continuity of the enemy between the two seeds. We are still in a war. Until the end, there is this tension. This was during the period of time of Jesus. There is a tension today. Yes. There is these two bloodlines. The evil and the God's bloodline. It's fighting. The size of the mission is still the same. we have to all worlds to reach with the power of the gospel. The kingdom of God has to go everywhere, everywhere, because he will be glorified among all the nations. And although God calls men to participate in his mission, it's God, the ultimate responsible for that. This brings hope for us. And you see, God helped me to be faithful. And I'm so glad it did not depend on me, depend on you, Lord. Just help me. And if I fail, if I do something wrong, I just dead, I'm sorry. And help me to go the straight path, the right path. Help me. And he is there. He is there always. I hope this word today brought hope for your heart and assurance that God loves you and God wants to have you very close to him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you very much for your truth. You are in control of everything, and you are marvelous. You are a wonderful, a great God, merciful, graceful. And we are here to worship you. We are here to honor you. Help us to be faithful. And we are saying now that in faith, we can do it. We can do it because you are with us. In Jesus' name, amen.